Okay, well, let's get started. Thank you all for that you all can come, and we're on the second session of dealing with depression. And so last week we looked at understanding depression and how it affects us, but we want to focus on getting out and staying out of depression. So as we get started, this can be as interactive as you want it to be. If you just want to sit back and take in the information, that works. But if you do have questions, feel free to ask them as well. And we are recording these sessions because we're putting them on the website so people can access them as well. So if there was something you want to share but you don't want to be online, just let me know and I can pause it and then we can discuss it or we can deal with it afterwards. And of course, I'm not a doctor. Some of the information from the one book is from a doctor that's had a lot of experience with it. But I'm not a counselor, a psychologist. I'm a pastor, and kind of my role is really more of a facilitator, where I'm trying to provide you with the information, and then you use it for yourself, so you can find a solution yourself. And of course, throughout the week, if you needed any more help, myself or my wife are available to talk with and things. So another thing too is we do have some more of these books, and this is kind of what a lot of the information of this is based on. This is A Hole with No Depression, A Hole with No Hope by Dr. George Crabb. Who's had about 20 years of experience dealing with internal medicine, addictions, and depression and other things. And so there's quite a lot of good information. I didn't get everything that's in there into this, but feel free. They're free, so you can take one home if it can be a help to you. But the thing is, as we come to understand depression more fully, we recognize it's too serious an issue to dismiss. If left untreated, can prove to be fatal. We talked about it last week. In some ways, you can think of it as kind of like mental cancer. That if you contract cancer, it's something where you realize this is something serious. We have to fight it, and we have to really utilize as many means as are at our disposal to try to deal with it, because it's something that can prove serious. If left not dealt with. But the thing is, there are strategies that can be employed that we can use to get out of depression and stay out of depression. And that's what we want to focus on this evening. But the thought is, too, is that depression affects the whole person. And so if we're going to get a solution, a cure to it, we have to deal with all areas as well. So physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And so we're going to be looking at all those various aspects. So in terms of the physical, and a lot of this is from Dr. Crabb and his perspective as a medical doctor. But when you do realize you're struggling with depression, it is wise to seek a doctor's advice, to get a medical examination, because there are some physical things that may be contributors to depression. Sometimes you can find that there might be a chemical imbalance that can be adjusted. Sometimes it can be a vitamin deficiency. We talked about that last week, that part of the issue with seasonal affective disorders, because you have less sunlight, and so you tend to be lacking in vitamin D, and so that can be a habit's effect. And then as well, a big thing is getting your thyroid checked, because if it's not producing at the proper level, you do tend to deal more with being exhausted and being depressed, and so having that checked out is a valuable thing to do. And from a medical perspective, there are different medications and treatments that are available. sedatives, they allow the mind to slow down so that you can rest, you can kind of recuperate a bit, and kind of be more physically able to handle some of the challenges that come. But they're really just a temporary help. They're not an actual cure. And they're just kind of a way of kind of masking the problem without actually solving the problem. Antidepressant medications, they actually work to help reduce neurotransmitter imbalance in your brain, and so there's various types available that can be helpful. And then there is electroconvulsive therapy, and that's for very severe cases, and Dr. Krabs, that's not really something that he would recommend. But what he did say is, while these various medications can provide some benefit, it would be wrong to think of depression as a purely physical disorder. That it's not just a matter of a physical problem, even though that can contribute to it. And one of the things he explained is that taking medication when you're depressed is similar to boosting your car battery when it's dead. That sometimes that may be necessary, but you want to find out why. That if you go to start your car in the morning and the battery's dead, you go and boost it, but then you want to figure out why did that happen. And sometimes it's just something simple. Somebody bumped the reading light and it was left on and that drained the battery. And so you fix that and it won't be a problem. But sometimes it's something more serious, that maybe the battery's weak or maybe there's a short somewhere, and so you want to get to the bottom of that. You don't want to have it where every morning you're planning on boosting your battery. And so you want to be careful with that, and it's unwise to rely upon medication alone. But physically speaking, there's also lifestyle changes one can make that may help in dealing with depression, and these sometimes can be just as effective as a medication. Getting more sleep. In depression, your mind is working overtime, it's wearing out your body, and so getting more rest enables you to tackle things a bit better. And so 8 to 10 hours a night is what a person's supposed to get, and of course usually we never seem to get as much as we probably should have sleep. Improving our nutrition can help. There's different things, of course. If we do have vitamin deficiencies, if we get that balance again, then we do better. But as well, this is kind of something, because a lot of times when we're feeling down, and I've done this too, is that you go to these different comfort foods, and these are going to kind of help you. But a lot of times our comfort foods aren't actually the best foods to be eating when we're down. Because if we say we like candy or something, or say if we like coffee or something like that, or caffeinated drinks, that their tendency is that we get a boost of energy that kind of pushes us up for a bit, but there's a dropping off afterwards. And so it's not a real fix. And so it's better to have something that gives us fuller energy, like proteins and other things of that nature that will stick with us longer. Reducing or eliminating drug and alcohol use, because a lot of times, again, that's sometimes what we do to kind of self-medicate when we're feeling down. And the way drugs work is a lot of times put you on a high, but it's an unnatural high. And then as soon as it wears off, then you're down. And then you have to take more in order to get back up to that high again. And it's just, it just causes kind of a roller coaster of emotions just as a side effect. And so if you can eliminate that, it helps a lot. And that's like for always what's recommended with if a person's dealing with suicidal thoughts, to kind of get those out of the picture, because they can just kind of exacerbate the situation. But as well, trying to get more active too. If we can, it's actually aerobic exercise helps increase endorphin release in the brain, and that's going to actually naturally help to fight depression. So, if a person can get doing different things, it does help in that way. So that's kind of on the physical side, and that's, we would say, is definitely a part of the issue, and there are things that can definitely help. But as we look at it, we do want to focus more on our mind and on our heart, our thoughts and our emotions. Because while there's a physical component to depression, we recognize its primary component is emotional and psychological. And so what we're going to go through here is just trying to find ways in which to kind of get through, because it's always, it's our thoughts that are kind of getting negative and just kind of getting out of control where our thoughts control us, and how do we kind of get free of that, and what strategies can we use. And so there's some different things to understand with that. That it's always with our thoughts and with our emotions. Input determines output. That what comes in and how we interpret what comes in is what's going to go up. And so in order to change how we act and change how we feel, it's necessary that we have to change how we think and change what we believe to be true. And so that's something to remember. It's our behavior and our feelings are affected by our thoughts and what our belief system is. And the Bible speaks of a concept it refers to as mind renewal. And it's something that psychologists today call cognitive behavioral therapy. And what it is it's focusing on person's thoughts and developing new pathways in the brain. Because it's interesting, because actually when you examine the whole concept in the Bible, the word that's used in the Greek, it actually has a connotation of a renovation. And I think that's really helpful in understanding, because imagine and just think back 2 summers ago when we had all that rain and we're having flooding in our basements and everything. And we kind of survived the flood and cleaned everything up and everything seems to be okay. But then say a few months later, you go downstairs and you just feel sick and like there's something going on and everything maybe looks fine. But you're not feeling well. And so then what do? You call someone in to take a look at it, and they say, okay, this is what the problem is you've got black mold growing on the back of the drywall, that's what the spores are making you sick. And so what's necessary in such a situation? You don't just, put some air freshener in or you add a coat of paint or something. You know, in order to fix this problem, we got to tear out everything that's damaged, everything that's rotten, everything that's making me sick. We got to clean it out, and then we got to replace it with something good. But you don't want to just tear out everything and then leave it bare. You want to replace it with something. And it's kind of the same way in our minds, that sometimes we go through a trauma, we go through a difficulty, and we survive it. But then, as a result of that, there's some different things that have come about in our thinking that is starting to make us sick. And so we have to identify those things and basically learn how to remove those things and then replace them with something else that's healthy. And so it's understanding that that's a process that needs to happen, and just how we do that is the challenge. And so, and this is what happens, is sometimes when we're having negative thoughts, we just try to focus, well, I need to stop thinking like this. But it never works that way. We just kind of drive ourselves nuts trying to stop the negative thought. But instead, what we have to do is kind of go through it a different way, where instead of trying to just stop the negative thought, we're actually seeking to flood our system with thoughts that are positive and truthful. And we continue to do that, and that is our focus and our strategy. And we do it to the point that the negative thoughts are drowned out and they're replaced. And so it's a thought. They want to be truthful thoughts and positive. Because sometimes we can have thoughts that are positive but not necessarily truthful. That we can try to pretend things aren't as they are. But then when reality hits, then that can be another source of depression. So having it to be true, but then also it wants to be some positive. And realizing that there are, we can find that and be looking for that. And that's what we want to seek in order to get through the down times. And this is a thought too that, and we looked at this last week, of that various circumstances in life can serve as triggers to depression. It might have been trauma of the past, it might have been failure, might be stress overload. Different things like that happen, and after that happens, we enter into a depressed state. But the thing is, if we look at it and say, well, I'm depressed because this happened to me, then there's never a way out, because we don't have control over our circumstances. That we don't know what's going to happen. And if we're always looking, well, this happened and that's why I'm depressed, that we're stuck. We're a victim and there's no hope for any change. And so instead what we have to do is evaluate, okay, how am I interpreting and responding to my circumstances? Is there some kind of misconception that I have that's leading me into depression? And that's where we got to start examining things, because we can make assumptions that may not be true. And once our mind gets a hold of some of these things, it'll just run away with them to the point that entirely overwhelms us. And so this is kind of one thing just to kind of remember, is misconceptions feed depression. That when you have a perception of reality that isn't actually the truth, then that's what's going to feed a lot of the negative thoughts. And so we have to be able to recognize those misconceptions in our thoughts and our feelings. And so first of all, we can recognize that there might be misconceptions about ourselves. That, what would be some examples? We could think, well, that I'm worthless, or I have no value, or I'm unlovable. And the fact is that's not true, that each of us has great worth, that all of us are worth loving. All of us are loved by God. That we have value in our lives. And some may not recognize that, but that's their problem. It's why they can't see that is a misconception of their own. But we can have those things and have those negative thoughts, and we need to actually question that. Am I unlovable? Are there people in my life that do love me? And say, yes, there are. And so I have value to other people. Sometimes we can have misconceptions about others, that we might think that no one really cares, no one really understands. And that's sometimes what happens, is we don't open up and try to reach out and share our problems with anyone else because we think I'm isolated. I have no one else that really understands. But a lot of times when we actually step out and say, I'm struggling, then we actually find where there's a lot more people around us that are having similar troubles. And sometimes having the courage to say, I'm having trouble, allows other people to come out and admit it too, and then you can kind of have that connection. But it's we can assume sometimes even people are out to get us, or people, everybody hates us, and a lot of times that's not true at all. Sometimes we can have misconceptions about our circumstances, that things happen and there's no way out, there's no hope of any improvement, and we can always start to evaluate and think, well, wait a minute, how could this be better? Or is this the end of everything? Is this something that's always going to be this way? Or is there a good chance that it could change? And so evaluating that. A lot of times we can have misconceptions about our failures, that sometimes we think, well, if it's a personal failure, like you're really, you're hoping to achieve something, you're hoping to get a promotion or a job or something, but then you didn't get the job, or things didn't happen as you expected. And you feel like giving up, but you realize, well, wait a minute, that just because I failed doesn't mean life is over, that there are things that I can do. And you think of so many different great men and women that attempted things, that there are a lot of times that they tried and failed many, many times. But they kept trying, and eventually they succeeded. And so we want to learn from our failures. Sometimes it can be like a moral failure as well, where we've done something wrong to someone else, and we feel guilt and shame about it, and we think that there's no way that I can be forgiven, no way that I can be restored in my relationship with that person. And that's something that we have to see, well, wait a minute, I can find, there are ways to find forgiveness. There are ways that this can be fixed. But then as well, we can have misconceptions about God, that sometimes we think, well, God is my enemy, God is out to get me, and God doesn't love me. And that's, those are all lies, that God does love us. And He has always loved us, He will always love us. And there's never anything that we can do that will make it so that He doesn't love us anymore. And that He's not our enemy, He's the one that wants to help us. And He knows our struggles and wants to be there for us. And we do, spiritually speaking, we do have an adversary that is seeking to hurt us and destroy us, but it's not God. And we want to realize that God is not our enemy, He's the best friend that we have. And so it's something to remember, that only the truth will make us free. And it's only the truth that will keep us free from the scourge of depression. And so we want to focus on what is true, what is reality. Because we can recognize that when a person gets depressed and gets suicidal, that a person's thinking becomes entirely twisted. Where someone will actually get to the point where they have convinced themselves that their family and their loved ones would be better off without them, and that they'll be happy when they're gone. And of course, that's totally wrong. It'll break everyone's hearts when that happens. And so it's kind of recognizing that I have to identify my thinking. Is this true? Is this a lie? How am I misperceiving things? And if that's the case, then that can be something that you can identify and say, no, I need to recognize what the truth is and focus on that rather than on the misconception. So that kind of deals with that part of trying to work with one's thoughts. And it can be something where certainly we can help one another, that we can kind of speak truth to each other and kind of challenge each other. But it's something too with dealing with depression is the importance of relationships in it. And we need to look outward and upward. Because when we're suffering from depression, our tendency is to withdraw and to isolate ourselves. And I remember the days that I was dealing with it, that it just like you felt like you wanted to dig a hole and just cover it over and just shut out the world. You didn't want to see anybody, you didn't want to talk to anybody. You just want to be alone. But when you're alone with your thoughts and they're negative thoughts, that you get stuck on it, and it's not a good place to be. And so it's the idea that like being alone, even though it's our tendency, it's a tendency that we need to fight against. And there's actually a verse in the Bible that speaks of this idea. It's a good one to remember. Verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 4, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And that's the thing, if you're all alone and you're down, there's no one to help you back up again. And so you need other people. And that's, I know for Lee and I, times where we struggled with it, fortunately it was kind of, if I was down, she was up. And when she was down, I was up. We didn't have a time when we were both down at the same time, which was good. And that's how it works in life, is that you are to try to help each other and be there for each other. And so shutting out people that can help us is the worst thing that we can do, and so we have to learn not to do that. And so we need to reach out, and we need to seek to develop a network of relationships with positive individuals who can provide support, accountability, and encouragement. And so it's kind of the thing with, really when you're looking at depression, it's kind of the same thing as with dealing with cancers. It's you don't want to just kind of deal with it a little bit. You want to get it out of your life completely if you can. You want to eradicate it from your system. And so you don't just do it a little bit, some of these things. You try to do as much as possible. So it's good to have one person that can help you, but it's better to have more than that, to have other people that you can connect with. And so especially when you're dealing with negative thoughts, the more positive individuals you gather around you, the greater strength you have to overcome those. And that's what you want to have, a network of relationships with positive individuals, because sometimes you can have individuals that you're around that'll just tend to want to drag you down, that will just be kind of flippant and insulting with the things that they say. They could say something that could kind of lift your spirits, but instead they go the other way and make fun of something about you. And so there's going to be people like that, but those are not the people you want to spend the most of your time with. You want to find people that are going to be supportive, people that can be accountable to, that like they might just ask, well, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And you can tell them, well, I was down a bit, and they can encourage you, they can kind of lift you up, and so that you're not going too far down that road. And so there's a lot of different people that can help. There's different family members, might be your spouse, it might be a cousin or an aunt or an uncle. Sometimes even it could be like a nephew or a niece, or because sometimes I know with for me, with hanging around with my younger kids, especially when they're kind of laughing and being silly, like that can be really a boost. And so even though, like, it's not like you can share with them necessarily what your problems are, but just kind of being with them can help you just kind of forget about what was going on, and where they just have kind of a love of life that you just, it's infectious and you want to be around them, that it can be helpful. There can be different friends that you may have, people that you can have coffee with, people that you could call up that maybe are a distance away but are willing to talk. Sometimes just people that you can message on Facebook, that you can do that, and it can be kind of just one-on-one kind of encouragement that can be helpful. A church family, because we really want to understand that church as it should be can be really a very good support group. And of course, a person has to be wise, because sometimes in a church it can be where the dynamic is that everybody's sort of trying to act like they have it all together and they're perfect, and so they show up for, say, an hour on Sunday and they put on the facade that everything's good. But instead, what it should be is where you know each other well enough that you're honest with each other, and you kind of, you're able to say, I struggled today, and as people, as you're honest with each other, then you can bear each other up. And so that's what you want to look for in a church family, because there can be different individuals that, say, have had experience in different struggles that have gotten victory that can kind of help you. And then sometimes there's others in a similar state or maybe learning that you can kind of help from your own experiences, and it can be beneficial in that way. Different doctors, of course, they can give you different advice and medication and other things that could be helpful. There can be different counselors that you can just open up to that can give you other different strategies and deal with like kind of that cognitive behaviors therapy. Any others that we can think of that could be a help or someone that could be a resource?
Maybe animals?
Animals, yeah. Yeah, I think that would be reasonable, because, yeah, sometimes having, like, just a dog that just always gives you unconditional love, like, that can be a boost, and where you just have that friend, and sometimes they do seem to understand your emotions even though you can't express things with them. And so, yeah, that's an idea. Any other thoughts? All right. It's a thought of looking outward but also upward. And ultimately, we recognize that the relationship that we can have with God can be our greatest source of health and hope as we seek to get out and stay out of depression. And so it's something we can think of, is that there are times in our life where we feel burdened by guilt and shame over past failures, over things that we've done to others or whatever it might be. But we recognize that in God we can find forgiveness. He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can find that cleansing. And that's a lot of times that it's that grief and shame that can lead us to depression. And so He can provide a solution to that. And when things look really dark in life, it's always something that we can look up, that we can find hope in God. And we see that in a couple places. Psalm 42 and verse 5. And it's actually, when you read the Psalms, David and others, there's different times where you read it and you can tell, yeah, this guy's dealing with depression and struggling with it. And he finds victory over it. But it says in Psalm 42, verse 5, he asks the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That there are times that we can be cast down in life, but if we put our hope in God, that can help lift our spirits. It also speaks of this in Hebrews chapter 6. And it speaks of the hope that we have. And it's a hope that we have in God. And it's as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That it's kind of, you think of the picture of how life can be very stormy and tend to want to overwhelm us, but when we have this anchor that we can be fastened to, then all these things that happen aren't going to cause us to drift to destruction. That we say, nope, I can hope in the Lord, I can trust that he's going to see me through this, and it's going to be okay on the other side. And in times when our circumstances overwhelm us, we can recognize that he's always ready to help us. And these couple verses here have been a help to me. That Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That he's a place where we feel weak, we can get strength from him. He's a place where things are just overwhelming, that he's a refuge, a place of safety and protection. And he's a very present help, that he isn't kind of where you go to call him and he says, well, we'll have to set up an appointment, or you get his voicemail or something like that, that he's available. And Isaiah 50, verse 6 says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I will set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. That when we put our hope in and seek God for help, that he's not going to leave us high and dry. But then as well, the truth of his word helps us identify and overcome the misconceptions that feed depression. That a lot of times we can see different things, that we might have feelings where we don't have value, we don't think that we're worth anything, but we can read God's word and we can find out that we're worth so much that God sent his son to die to redeem us. And we think, well, I've done something wrong, God can never love me, and we find it says, I love you with an everlasting love. And there's different words like that, and things like that can just, we can focus on that, and that can help us through some of the dark times. And so there's a few other additional strategies for fighting depression. Some of these we would look at being more kind of spiritual strategies, but others are just kind of more social strategies as well. That when we're down, that we can learn to pray to the Lord, that it helps us to deepen our relationship with him. Of course, we seek him because we have needs, and he can answer our prayers. But also helps focus our thoughts and get us thinking and really getting a peace in our hearts as we learn about this when we talk about stress, where we learn to cast our care on him. The things that we're struggling with, we say, I don't know how to handle this, please help me. And we find the help that we need. Bible meditation, and this is a thought. Meditation in this way is the idea is not where we try to empty our minds, but rather where we fill it with God's word. That there's different verses that or thoughts in the scriptures that we can take and we can kind of mull over in our mind, and they can help us in difficult times. And that's with the whole process of mind renewal, that we want to replace misconceptions with the truth. But as well, listening to music or singing, that sometimes we have to, when we're feeling down and we're struggling with depression, it's good to check our playlist and ask ourselves, okay, is the music I'm listening to, is it actually lifting my spirits? or is it bringing me down? And sometimes just changing our playlist can actually help boost us up. And then, and sometimes too, is just being able to sing. And it doesn't matter if you can sing on tune or anything like that. It's just when you're down, if you can sing about something, that can be help a lot in just keeping your spirits up. And it just it gives you strength in many ways. Yeah, and so recognizing that music does have that ability. And so sometimes it's like you almost want to have like a kind of a pick-me-up playlist that you can go to that just, okay, I need a boost, I just need to listen to this, and that this is going to help me kind of go the other way rather than keep going down. But then it's the other thing too is helping other people, because we understand when we do something wrong or do something bad or mean, we don't feel good about ourselves. And but yet if we do something good, then we feel good inside. And so it's that thought that sometimes you think, well, what can I do for someone else? Because when a person is depressed, the focus is often way too much on ourselves and withdrawing within. But instead, if we're looking out and say, is there somebody I can help? Maybe I'm down, maybe there's somebody in the hospital I know that I can visit to try to perk up, and that might be a pickup to me too. Maybe there's some elderly person in a nursing home that just being there is going to be an encouragement to them. And when you do that, it makes you feel good, and then you're kind of brought out of your own struggles. And so that's what you're wanting to do is finding these different strategies. And it's really for myself recognizing that you don't want to just kind of barely get out of depression and just barely stay out of depression. You want to get as far and as much out of it. And so you want to employ as many strategies as possible, because you want to kind of overwhelm those negative thoughts. You want to guard against them from coming back. And so it's there's different things like that you really want to try to think of. Any other thoughts of other strategies person can employ?
I'm just kind of like with helping others, like sometimes it's just volunteering to get out of the house, volunteering somewhere that might need help.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true.
It's often like the last thing you want to do, right?
Yeah, it gets your mind off of it. Well, and that's the thing, there's some things that we can do. Like I know, well, I was joking with Malia, I came home from town, it was last week sometime, and I bought a bunch of seeds at Peavey Mart, and I said, this is my seasonal affective disorder therapy or something, because it just, and that's what I do a lot of times in the winter when I get down. I get out the seed catalogs, and it's like I plan what I'm going to grow in the garden in the spring, and it's not something big, but it usually means a lot, because it just, in spring there will be hope, there's going to be new life, you can start fresh, and winter is not going to be forever. And so things like that we can find, and it might be something that we, someone else might look at it and say, well, that's kind of lame, but if it works for you, then do it. Like, it's not their life kind of thing, it's your life. And so finding things like that and being creative, and sometimes it's just like, well, how would I do this? And yeah, this was a real pick me up. And what might work for some people might not work for others, but it's worth a try. And so that's what I'd encourage you to do, is just like look for those different things. Like, sometimes it's a hobby that you have that just really you derive a lot of enjoyment from that hobby. And so when you're down, get into the hobby a bit more and things like that. Any other thoughts on that? Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's helpful. Yeah. Yeah, well, just getting it out, I think, helps a person to process it. I think that's valuable. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Yeah. Well, and it's something to think about too, is that you never know, but in like later on in the future, someone might read those journals if you leave them behind, and they might have been having some of the similar struggles, and to realize that, well, they're not alone, and to kind of see how you've come out of that, that can be helpful to them. Like, and so it could be like, a great grand niece or something many years later, but it could actually help them. And so that can be, even just kind of thinking of that possibility can actually be. Yeah. No, that's good.
So that sometimes with our kids, they're in the wrong mind, they're being thankful. Say, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
We made your life for them. And pretty soon they're like, maybe 8 or 9 or 10, you really are blessed.
Yeah. No, I think that's valuable, because it's like, again, like focusing on the positive rather than the negative, because, like, sure, there's lots of things you don't have, but there's a lot of things we do have. And sometimes it's, when things go bad, you learn to be thankful that things didn't go worse. And I remember that one time that I was a caretaker for some apartment buildings, and my job for the day was actually running a snake down the stacks. And it went down like three or four stories down to the bottom and back up again. It was kind of a nasty job. But then on the one, I actually found out that I must have broke something loose. And so I had gotten done for the day, and a lady calls me and says, my drain's plugged. And so it's like back up on the roof to try to fix it. But then we realized, well, some was plugged underneath, and so the guy below her had a stop valve on it. And so I was in there, well, I wonder what will happen if I just push this in. And I did, and I was completely covered in this black gunk. But I didn't, at least had my mouth closed, so that was something I could be thankful for. So there's always, like, and that's sort of, like, it's kind of training your mind sometimes to find the positive in a situation. And it's, it can be difficult, but once you, like, it's, your brain develops pathways. And the longer you go down them, the harder they are to break. And so it's always, okay, this one I need to stop and I need to develop a new pathway. When this thing happens, I can't just react the same way. I have to react differently. And so depression isn't something that just comes on us all of a sudden. Usually there's a process that led to us being in a depressed state. And so when we're recovering from depression, it's not going to be instantaneous either. That it's usually a process where we come out of it fully. It's going to take time, but recovery from depression is possible. And sustained victory over depression is possible. It isn't something where we always have to go back into it. That is, we need to really kind of get ahead of it. That if we know that it's our tendency, we need to build in these strategies into our life and keep adding others that we think of as we come along. And the more we do that, then depression gets farther and farther in our rearview mirror. And that's what our goal is that we are able eventually to leave it behind and never come back. And so the more strategy we employ, the more help we seek, the greater the hope we have we can have in life to not only bring us out of depression, but keep us from ever going back in. And so that's with all of it, and what I encourage you to do is reach out for help. Try a lot of these different things, and there may be other ones that we haven't discussed that you can come up with. But have that, because in a way it is a fight for life. And you say, I'm not going to let this get me down to the point that it's going to end my life. I'm going to instead choose to go the other way. And I'm going to do as much as I can to fight this so that it doesn't hurt me, it doesn't hurt anyone else anymore. And so it's kind of learning it in that way that we kind of, like I know some people when they've had cancer, just their attitude of I'm going to beat this cancer. And it's almost we have to have that same drive that this is, I'm going to beat this. And we get as much help as we can to do it, and from those around us, from God, and whatever we can do that we work at. So, all right. So, any other thoughts or questions before we conclude?
Can you actually, like depression, can you
from it? Well, there's different kinds of depression, like. We talked about that last week. If you have like bipolar disorder, that's something that's lifelong that you have to kind of keep an eye on. But with a lot of the other kind of depression, like there are ways to get recovery from it. Now, someone that has gone through depression, you do tend to slip back into it. That is the tendency. You're more prone to than someone that's it just, statistically, there tends to be a recurrence, but it's not something that we have to just assume that's always going to happen. And instead, we have to have the mindset, because I went this place once before, I need to figure out how did I get there, and then I need to make sure I don't go down that path again. And so, as a person, learns that and as a person gets the help that he needs, then you can get to a point where, yeah, this is not, I'm not defined by this anymore. This doesn't have to control me anymore, that I can be free. And that's what I think all of us desire to be, and that's what God desires for us, is that we can be set free from things like this.
And some people can identify that trigger. It can be a couple triggers, but any specific things that started for specific times of year, that the season. like, hey, I've gone like 2 or 3 years and I didn't have to go through that.
And that's a lot of times is like, and it's not that, like, and we have to understand that idea that it isn't that the trigger necessarily is the cause of my depression. It's how I'm choosing to respond to that trigger, and so it's realizing, okay, this has an effect on me. I need to find a way to deal with it better. And like, I guess as an example for me, anytime we get like a really big wind, I tend to get on edge because I know it's like, okay, what's going to get wrecked or blow off the house this time, kind of thing. And so, like, I just get into kind of a, like, where I'm on edge. And so it was like this morning, it was like, okay, the wind's up, but it's like, well, I don't want to do that again. We'll just take it as it comes, and it ended up not being as bad as it could have been. But you kind of have to identify, like, we've talked about this in previous sessions, but it's the idea, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And it's a lot of times when we recognize our place of weakness that we make sure we get help or we get strength in that area, kind of get back up so that then we can get through it. But it's other times where we think, oh, I'm tough, I can handle it, and we don't get the help, then that's when we falter. And so learning, it's okay to say, I need help. We don't, like, it's important that we're honest with ourselves, that we know I need to reach out to someone, because by myself, maybe I can get through it, but it's going to be a whole lot easier if I have someone kind of rooting for me that's by my side and kind of keeping me going. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's always trying to find the right person to help, but if you do find that person, I think it makes a big difference. And for them, usually they're more than, if they're the right kind of person, they're more than happy to help. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Kind of go through your thumb.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, well, there's a lot of different things. It depends what you're interested in, like, because there's there's a lot of, for instance, like bulbs and things that you can plant that are going to come up at certain times. And so, like, it can be like crocuses will come up first, and then you have like tulips, and then irises and daffodils and things. And so sometimes with them, you can sort of plan it out so you have different things that are coming up that you've planted them once, and then they're going to be coming up every year, and you actually kind of look forward to seeing them again. Yeah. Yeah. But then there's other things, like there's plenty of like annuals that like can be kind of showy and give a lot of color, and so it's sort of like it's kind of the thing, like sometimes just getting like a seed catalog from somewhere and just kind of looking through it and planning it out is helpful. And then, like, if there's things that you enjoy eating, or sometimes it can be like you can get kind of your normal kind of vegetables and fruit that you grow, but there's always different ones that are kind of like heirloom varieties, right? Where, like for instance, for me, like I like tomatoes, and so I've grown some that are kind of purple colored, and some that are, I grew like a pineapple tomato that tastes kind of like pineapple. And when we did these Cream of Saskatchewan watermelons that are like about this big, and they're white inside, and like they're kind of neat because the other part is kind of thin, the rind, and so when they're ripened, the rind cracks, and so it's like it's super easy to tell, because otherwise with a watermelon, how do you know for sure? You don't want to open it up to find out. And so things like that we've done, and it's been kind of fun, and when you can eat the fruits of your labors, it can be encouraging. And so anything like that I would say could be
bright colors for plants.
I would think so, yeah.
I was doing some homework on that, and there was sort of one article there saying plant a lot dark colored plants.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I would think.
Yeah, there's some nice little plants out there, it's not black, but
yeah.
They're kind of dark. They're a pretty long plant.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be an idea. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of makes it up a bit, maybe, but not consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that might not be a bad idea.
What?
Oh, the amaryllis?
The amaryllis.
Oh, yeah, that's in the winter. Yeah. Well, that's kind of. Yeah. Like, I know for me, like, you have, like, the abundance of stuff kind of during the growing season, but then sometimes for me it's like the first frost is like major depressive episode, because it's like everything's dead, and but it's sometimes it's kind of learning things to kind of keep your mind going, because say sometimes if you have fruit or other things that you've been picking, well you pick and put in the freezer, and then okay, well now you can bring it out and start making like jam or something like that. Or there might be, like, there's sometimes you can get, if you have some room in the house, like, there can be a few things you can bring inside and keep them going. And there's different varieties of stuff that a person can do, but, like, I find that sometimes just growing something, it can be therapeutic
yeah.
in that way, so. Yeah, yeah. It's sort of you, because there's sometimes with things in life that where you put in effort and then you don't see the fruit of it right away, and that can be discouraging. Whereas with planting stuff, it's like you kind of know you're going to have a certain level length of growing season, and then there's going to be something that you get at the end that makes it worthwhile. So yeah.
Thank you very much.
No, you're welcome. Okay. Might help.